The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
The FT.
Hello and welcome to Hard Currency, the FT's weekly Forex podcast, taking a hard look at what's driving the world's largest financial market. I'm Alice Ross, the FT's currencies correspondent, and I'll be talking you through the market trends this week with the help of my special guest, Valentin Marinov, Director of FX Strategy at Citi. Valentin, hello and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Let's start by looking at the Swiss franc, which has been seeing some unusual activity in the past couple of weeks. This is a currency that has been effectively pegged to the euro since last September. The Swiss central bank has said it will intervene in the currency markets to buy euros to weaken the franc if need be. And it looks like they've finally been doing that in May because of this flood of haven demand from investors. And the big question now is whether the Swiss National Bank, the SNB, will be able to hold this peg or whether the demand will overwhelm them at some point. Valentin, what's your take on this?
Well, many investors are asking us the same question. And indeed, it is becoming increasingly difficult for the SNB to defend the peg without really allowing its FX reserves really escalating from what we've seen. So I presume that for the time being, they will be able to absorb the inflow into Swiss franc. That is at least what they were saying. Importantly, however, it seems like that the policymakers in Switzerland are also considering other options to potentially augment that defense or the floor underneath Euro-Swiss, like penalty rates on Swiss deposits and indeed potentially the usage of capital controls. I suspect that as a first line of defense, continuing intervention in the market will be the preferred choice. Potentially, in the event of a potential Greek exit of the Eurozone, the Swiss National Bank may have to consider additional options.
Well, that's interesting because we've had, you know, chatter about these capital controls being introduced in the event of a Grexit in the past week. But what happened last time they introduced capital controls in the 1970s? That didn't go so well for them, did it?
No, not really. The way I see this happening would be really a temporary imposition of potentially a really all-encompassing capital controls, which to be successful, we have to be accompanied with capital controls, especially in Greece. Because if you think of the likely impact of a potential Greek exit and the related depreciation of the national currency, the new drachma, a potential 60%, say, depreciation of that new currency will render other measures like penalty rates on Swiss deposits fairly ineffective. In addition, in the case of Greece, we are talking about 165 billion of deposits still sitting in Greece. While I'm not assuming that all of that will head to Switzerland, you could argue that in the event of Grexit, the degree of contagion to Portugal, to a degree Ireland and definitely Spain could be significant enough to see the SNB really having to absorb like billions of like the money really flowing into Swiss. So I suspect that while they could try to really absorb that to a degree, there is a limit to which actually those FX reserves could grow. And that limit could be the size of the Swiss GDP. Which is around 500 billion.
Mm. And just quickly, what have we been seeing with the dollar Swiss franc? Because we haven't seen much movement at all with the euro Swiss franc, but we are seeing the dollar strengthen significantly against the Swiss franc. What does that tell us?
Well, certainly, I mean, the SNB has been attempting to at least diversify away from the euros it was absorbing. And part of that actually was clearly the euros that they were accumulating going into dollars, which was then reflected into the dollar-Swiss appreciation. The dollar-Swiss appreciation is also part reflecting the broad-based strength we see in the dollar across the board, with the sole exception of yen, I have to say. And on the face of it, for now, it seems like this is likely to continue. One of our calls at the start of this year was to be long dollar-Swiss. And because in terms of expectations, we were seeing more headwinds for euro-dollar. We were certainly expecting that the SNB will do what it takes to defend the bank, but we were, I guess, somewhat optimistically expecting some resolution in the sovereign debt crisis in coming months, so that actually we're expecting Euro-Swiss to drift higher as well. Mm-hmm. And our expectation now is that dollar-Swiss could remain under upside pressure, but that will reflect mainly downside pressure on euro dollar.
Okay. And we'll know more this week, of course, when the SNB actually does release its reserve data. So we'll find out how much they've actually had to intervene during May, hopefully. Well, let's continue this theme of intervention, because we've also seen a lot of haven pressure on, as you mentioned, the Japanese yen in the past couple of weeks, which is directly related, of course, to the eurozone crisis. We've actually seen the euro hit its weakest level against the yen in about 11 years, while the dollar is at its weakest level since February. Now, that's also sparking some market chatter about the possibility the Bank of Japan may step in to weaken the yen. We know they've kind of done that earlier this year already. Do you think they might do it again?
Not in the case in dollar yen, not anytime soon. Euro yen is indeed moving very close to historic lows. The last time we saw any concerted intervention in euro crosses was, I think, in year 2000, when euro dollar was trading at 82 cents, all-time low. Euro-yen actually hit an all-time low of 89 yen per euro. We are well above those levels. And also, I suspect that the fact that Europe is only the fourth most important trading partner of Japan makes an intervention there somewhat unlikely. I cannot exclude, however, potential concerted intervention to prevent a downside, a steep downside correction in euro, which will actually see euro being propped up across the board. That is not only against the yen, but also against the dollar, much like shortly after the introduction of the euro in year 2000.
What you mean, a concerted intervention like we saw last year with the yen?
Yeah, really, central banks really together just intervening in the FX markets. And that's certainly something to be mindful about. And I suspect in terms of potential trigger for such a move in euro, potential Greek exit, our economists are talking about start of 2013, actually potential Greek exit or the run-up to that Greek exit actually could see euro coming under severe selling pressure, including against yen.
That's interesting, because that brings us on to the last thing that I was going to ask you, which is we have the ECB meeting this week, obviously, and they may be considering some sort of policy move, some sort of intervention for the opposite reason than the SNB and the Bank of Japan, which is to strengthen the euro rather than weaken it. But there's been some speculation they may seek to cut interest rates to boost eurozone growth. How likely do you think this is? And do you think a cut would even cause the euro to weaken, in that it might be seen as a sign of restoring confidence in the region?
In terms of reaction function for euro, now, I guess any policy measure that is seen as helpful in the sense that actually it will lead to an abatement in sovereign debt risks could actually support euro. And I'm afraid that any rate cuts, say lowering deposit rates to zero, all that will be seen as largely ineffective in dealing with the real issue, really the fact that the banking sector in large parts of the eurozone are undercapitalized, and also that we are seeing severe headwinds for the economies of Spain, Italy, which are related not only to their cyclical underperformance, but to the conditions in the sovereign debt markets. So that any rate cut as such need not help. And I agree that actually it could add to the headwinds for the euro, because it will be seen as just making euro even more attractive funding currency, if you wish, especially against high-yielding currencies. And in an odd way, it could actually underscore the resilience of G10 smalls like Scandis, like Australian dollar, if you wish, against the euro. Importantly, I think it could add to the headwinds for euro-sterling as well, if it pushes the rate differential between euro and sterling lower. I suspect that the market is already expecting something like that. Importantly, it will be very difficult to find a measure that could credibly restore investors' confidence in the sovereign debt market. That's really the real issue, that where the risk, the tail risk for euro is at present. So from that point of view, I suspect that while I cannot exclude another bout of LTRO, I think that markets may be wanting maybe a reactivation of the S&P program, direct involvement of the ECB in the secondary bond markets. If that's indeed actually accomplished or signaled by the ECB, I suspect that that'll be euro positive.
And quickly, end of the year, euro, what's your level?
Our official forecast is for 125, but I do see significant risks on the downside. We actually recently released a study where we analyzed the impact of potential Grexit on the level of euro-dollar. We suspect that in the event this is happening, actually 110 could be a likely level for euro-dollar with the risks on the downside.
Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. Valentin Marinov of Citigroup, thank you very much. Hard Currency will be back next week. But until then, you can read up-to-date FX news and analysis on our website, ft.com/markets/currencies. Goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.